Blog Talk Radio.
Curtis Johnson, formula of Chuck Brown and the Soul Shirts. Welcome, Curtis, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey there, Russell. How's it going? Yeah, this is Curtis. This is me. I'm here.
Fantastic. Tell us, Curtis, a little bit about your background and how you got started in this go-go business.
Well, let's see. I actually joined Chuck Brown's band in like 1978. At that point in time, there was this new movement for a new music that was kind of developed after me and Ricky Wellman had joined the group. And later on, this thing had turned into what they call the go-go. And it first, to me, it first furtherly burst into what we call go-go music. And that's what we listen to now, go-go music. And this thing has been going on since about like 1980. Kind of stopped brewing around to me to like 78, but then it took off like 1980.
Well, what actually determined go-go music? Because there was all kind of other music, rhythm and blues, soul music, Motown sound, Philly sound. What made this sound become go-go in the District of Columbia area, DMV area, because there's nowhere else is that prevalent? So what made it be like that?
I think it's just the kind of way it's played with the beat, basically, the beat, the music, the rap, that type of thing, the chemistry, the idea of the boom, 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 boom type beat with play with the musical hits that kind of complement it with the rap that's kind of going on with it at the same time, and I think that's what generated the whole thing.
Where do you see go-go music going now? As far as, you know, you have Sugar Bear, you've got some other people that's out there, but why isn't go-go music as strong as it was when Chuck Brown was alive?
Oh, well, that's a hard question to answer. Why isn't it? I really don't know. I guess we just need to focus on revitalizing it, coming up with different ways to actually play it. You know, I don't think it's nothing that can't be done. I just think we just need to get out there and maybe focus on new development.
Because as it stands right now, it's been almost, I guess, a year, 2 years now. But the music like yourself, you have been an inclement part from the beginning. Could you give us some background history of when you first started as a soul searcher, and when did you realize it was evolving to something bigger than anybody could imagine?
Well, back in 78 when I first joined, and then like round about, I guess, what, 80, must have been 84, 85, when we noticed that that it was definitely a significant style, and it had its own characteristics about it. I guess that's when I kind of recognized it.
But when the crowds got to be like in the thousands of people coming out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night and paying $10, $15, $20 just to come in the door, what made people keep coming back over and over again, hearing the same music, the same songs, from one place to another place, the same people? What made that happen?
Well, I guess it's just like going to a restaurant, buying the same McDonald's or anything else you go to. If it's something you like, you keep going for it.
Give us how you branched out to start your band. What's the name of your band?
My band is called Curtis Johnson and the Band Eternity.
The Band Eternity. Now, how'd you come up with that name?
Well, let's see. I mean, I thought of a lot of names, and then I thought about Eternity, and I thought that was one that I would want to select, and I did. And when I selected Eternity, I went down to the Patent and Trademark Office, and I registered the name, and all of a sudden I was getting all this other static from all these other people that had bands called Eternity, and I'm like, well, if y'all wanted that name, why didn't you trademark it? So when I went down there and registered, I would have known it belonged to somebody else, and I would have dug up something else. But I did, and I still have the name.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent, because a name is so important. When you have a name and people recognize your name, and they say, okay, we're gonna trademark that name. Nobody can touch that name at that point. Is that correct?
Well, I guess there's really a whole bunch of little different oohs and ahs to it. I guess this is not the time and place to get into them, but for the most part, but there are, you know, little different things that go on with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the album and how they can get it and where they can get it from, and as far as the album itself.
Well, I've Got You, Baby, Under My Skin is my latest release, and that's a single. You can get that on CD Baby, iTunes, or Amazon. My latest album is Knocking Down the Walls. You can go to Google and Google knockingdownthewalls.com, and a link will pop up showing you how you can get that particular CD. You can either go to CD Baby or you can go to us direct through the link and get a copy of that. And I mean, I have several other releases out. I have another single called Hit Me With The 1-2. I have another one out called The Booty Drop. I have another one. I have a Christmas single that we play it every Christmas. That you can also get on CD Baby. And I've got another Christmas tune. I'm hoping to have it ready to release by December 1. But, you know, with music, and, you know, music is something you have to use other people as well as yourself, and you have to tie all that together. So we'll see if I can get it together or not. But I'm definitely working on it, and I got maybe 20 other songs on the back burner.
Well, I tell you, what I could do, if you get it out by December 1st, you can have it played right at the Be There Magazine DGC Award, and that way you can have everybody hear it firsthand, because believe it or not, people want to, what I call, hear the song. You know, they want to make sure the song is what I call available and ready, and once they hear it, they love it. You know, the more play you get, the more people hear it and the more people like it. Does that kind of make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I want to make sure that people in the area see the song and hear the song and get the song. We're going to play the song in a little bit, but first, before we play the song, tell us basically where you'll be playing out, like, the upcoming, what I call the upcoming events for the holidays. Do you have any gig that's on the books right now that you're going to be playing?
Well, there's some things brewing, but there's nothing actually on the calendar yet. We just hired a new drummer, so we're taking a few minutes to kind of get him locked tight, and then we're going to be back up and running again.
Mm-hmm. So what does it entail? Is a band kind of hard to put together or to facilitate? Does everybody get paid equal? How's the band work? Is it interchangeable? Like you said, you get a new drummer, can you get a new saxophone player, a new lead singer? Who's your lead singer right now?
Well, right now I'm using myself as a lead singer. I use Mick Jessup as a lead singer. I lose Tia ID as a lead singer. So it's kind of like three of us, that handle that aspect of the music.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you make the songs in the song, who writes the songs?
For the most part, I do all my writing. I do all the arrangements. I'm the producer. I determine what will be played and what will not be played.
Hmm. So you basically are a producer, a writer, songwriter, singer, composer of music. That's a lot. I mean, isn't that a lot to do?
Well, it is quite a few hats to wear. But if you can wear them, you wear them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I just want to commend you, Curtis, for keeping the go-go alive. It's not easy to what I call keep go-go alive. I mean, go-go is a hard nut to crack, especially if people aren't what I call listen to it all the time. You know, they still have go-go, I guess, nights at certain places. Is that correct?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the problem in Prince George's County where they're trying to ban go-go bands, or it's hard to find places to play? Why is that?
That is a mystery to me. I do not have an answer for that. I don't know why, but obviously there's something there.
Yeah, it used to be able to find a go-go spot almost anywhere. You know, the band was playing here, the band was playing there. They had different go-go bands. What about a go-go reunion where you have all the bands come together and play on one venue? Is that something possible to come up one day?
I think there's something in the mix. I talked to Charlie Fenwick. He's one of the, he owns a studio, and he's been into music all his life. And he had a band years ago called Hot Cold Sweat, and he mentioned to me that there is a go-go reunion in the works now. So as you mentioned that, there's something on the burning right now. So I don't know what it is, when it is, or where it will be, but I know that it's in the making.
So it's definitely something in the make. That would be an ideal thing to have. A go-go reunion. Bring all the bands, all the go-go bands that's still alive, that's still doing something. Put them on one venue instead of everybody, dividing themselves. I remember when the one band got to be real popular, and then instead of him, reaching back and dragging all the other go-go bands forward, he didn't do that. And then it seems like the go-go band did not get the recognition that they could, because it could have been go-go music. Shouldn't have died. It should have exposed to be nationally or worldwide. Did you agree on that?
Yeah, technically I do.
It should have been where, it should have been to the point where go-go should have been forever. It shouldn't have just stopped at a certain point. It should have been forever. That's what we look at. Why is go-go music bigger than it is? Why hasn't it come to the point where it's played every day on the radio? Every time you look around, you should hear go-go music. Or every time you go to a venue, there should be a go-go song played. But it seems like today, you can go to a venue and there'd be no go-go music played at all the whole time you're there. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I don't go to a lot of venues, so I'm not at liberty to say what goes on there. But you're right. There should be go-go music played all the time everywhere.
Yeah, there should be something played at every venue, even at a hand dancing venue. There should be some kind of go-go song that could be danced to by hand dancing. There should be some kind of go-go music that people could dance with. Not only young people, older people, but they older people do like go-go because I remember when Chuck Brown played at the Congressional Black Caucus dinner, and people were in their 70s and 80s, and they was dancing to the go-go music.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an age gender for the go-go music? What, is there a cross section of the certain age for go-go, or is it across the board?
I think it's across the board.
What defines a go-go song? Does it have to have a beat like Doing the Butt? Is that a go-go song?
I don't think Doing the Butt is a go-go song, but what defines a go-go song is something just like, let's say, for instance, gospel. What defines gospel? Let's say blues. What defines blues? They all have characteristics about the way they're played, which defines what type of music there is. What defines pop? What defines disco? Disco has a beat. Go-go has a beat. Blues has a beat. They all have some sort of kind of beat and a way that they're played that defines the type of music that it is. Go-go is no different. It has its own characteristics.
Did the name go-go, where did the name go-go come from? You know what it came from?
Well, I think basically back in the days, people used to go to go-go's. So that was happening all along. People would go to go-go's. It was later on that what we created was a go-go music. So it's two elements of go-go. One was a place where people went, and now go-go is a type of music we listen to.
Yeah, I think it's a formulated aspect of the DMV. If you're from Washington, D.C., and you say go-go music, people formulate in their mind what it is. There's one place in D.C. It's on 7th and Florida Avenue. It's a communication outlet, and he's one of our advertisers. And to this day, he has a big sign outside of the establishment, go-go tapes sold here. Back in the day, the go-go band, and I'm quite sure your band and Soul Searchers band and Chuck Brown band, they were ahead of the curve way before you had the downloading of music, way before you had iTunes, way before you had DVDs or CDs. They had cassette tapes. And what happened is the go-go musician or the band had the insight to make the tapes as they played. And then you could have people call out your name. They would say, who's from Southeast? Who's from Southwest, Northwest? Who's Boogie? And then all of a sudden, that person's name would be recorded on the go-go tape. And then they was selling the tape for 10. This was 30 years ago, Curtis, selling tapes for $10, a cassette tape. That was ingenuity, man, on the aspect of a go-go band. Do you agree?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they sold thousands of go-go tapes, cassette tapes. I mean,
people were selling them for $20 or $30 a piece.
Wow. And so that was commendable to have something like that. I mean, that was genius, pure genius and pure marketing genius that people could want to hear that. There was no such thing as a go-go CD. There was no such thing as that. That was basically, you had to go get the go-go tape. To hear the music in your car or to hear it somewhere else, you had to have the tape. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You couldn't go to the store and buy a Go-Go CD. But now you can, right?
They had CDs back way back in the day. They weren't CDs. They were tapes.
Right, they were tapes, right. But now they got CDs, right?
Exactly.
So what makes the CD sell? Give me your aspect of what makes the CD sell.
What makes a CD sell? It's got to have something people want to listen to. It's got to have
Is it more advantageous to buy a CD or buy a song? What's more prevalent, you think?
Well, that's a tricky one there. I would have to say, personally, if I can get the song I want, I would just buy the song. If the only way I could get the song I wanted was to buy the CD, then I would buy the entire CD. So I think that's the way it goes. And, of course, even in today's market where CDs are sort of different from what we used to do years ago, which was vinyl. So when they produce records in a vinyl sense, you were either going to buy a 45 or you were going to buy a 12-inch. So if you couldn't get the song you wanted on a 45, and the only way you could get it was on the 12-inch, then you had to buy that 12-inch because you wanted that one song, and you had to pay the price of the 12-inch, which in today's market, we're losing a lot of ground on that fact right there.
Excellent. We're going to take a break and we come back. We're with the one and only Curtis Johnson, the original soul searcher, Chuck Brown, the soul searcher. He has a wealth of knowledge about go-go, and he has his own band, and he also has his own CD. We'll be right back with the one and only Curtis Johnson.
Thank you.
Welcome back, welcome back. The one and only Curtis Johnson, original Soul Searcher with Chuck Brown. He has his own band, Eternity Band and Show. Curtis Johnson is the lead singer. He's the producer. He's the writer. He's all that when it comes to go-go production of his band. Tell us some of your highlights of the band and what, where have you played in the past that people have recognized where you've been?
Well, let's see. We just did a thing several months back. That was the Kennedy Center. Even before then, I've been playing at some local clubs. Let's say Colony South, Halftime, Lamont's. We've been around to a lot of places.
That is amazing, Curtis. I tell you, I mean, you are truly somebody who is an innovator of go-go. I mean, and you're keeping hope. What drives you to keep go-go alive? Why are you still doing it?
Well, just like anything else, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And you, what do you like about it? Tell me what drives you. What makes you enjoy go-go's music so much?
Well, I guess being a part of its creation, knowing that I'm playing me. I'm not reproducing something somebody else did. I'm playing something that I'm playing that's an original that comes from my heart. So I'm playing me. So I enjoy playing me. I like listening to me. And I'm hoping everybody else likes listening to me.
Well, let's listen to you right now. Let's hear what you have to say right here.
Thank you.
That is super, super, Curtis. Tell us about that. Now, what makes that song so unique? Why did you pick that song?
Well, I work a lot of songs, and, you know, you just never know how a song is really going to turn out when you first get into it, but you go into it with the idea it's going to be a good song, and you start working it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like my hippie song.
Go ahead. What about making the song a theme song for, say, a commercial, or a theme song for that play when somebody's having a wedding? Or, I mean, how do you get the song to be to that level?
Well, I think you basically have to create songs for that purpose.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I think you're onto something, Curtis. What do you do? I think you got a lot of talent. You're multi, you're diversified. You do so many things, and you've been a inspiration to Be There magazine, and you're a legend in this town. You know, you're living a legacy. You've been around for a long time, and you ain't going nowhere. You determined to make this thing work, and that's what it takes for a hit record or to be successful. Is you can't give up. You have to play a lot of places also. You just can't play in certain places. You got to play all over town. Sometimes you just got to volunteer to play somewhere. Let people hear you. Open up for somebody. You know, like if somebody's already got a show going, how does that work? If somebody already has a show and they want you to open up, can you go and open up for someone?
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. All we need is a phone call.
Mm-hmm. So, but that gives you a little bit of a break if you open up to someone. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess it does.
I mean, it gives you, like, otherwise, the person's already having a following of people. So, like, if they ask you to open up for them, then people can see you that don't know you. And if they like your music, then they can want to see you next time. I've seen a lot of cases where a band who's under not known that well starts opening up for somebody. And then once they open up for somebody, the band becomes, they get their own show. They get their own gig because they were so good. Sometimes the opening act is better than the actual act. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That happens a lot in the industry.
Yeah, a lot, like the opening act comes on for the star, and the opening act is better than the star. And at that point, they say, wait a minute, who's that opening act? And they start trying to get that opening act to do stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true.
What was your biggest hit so far? What hit record was the biggest one that you had so far?
Well, I think before I came out with I Got You, Baby, Tell Me was the was my number one song. But then, like I said, I like Hit Me Too. But I always think Tell Me was my number one song. I've got, you know, more.
What's that song that you had about the booty or something? Is that a dance song? What's that song about?
Yeah, that's a song called The Booty Drop. And we created a dance to go along with it. And it's also one of my favorite songs.
Wow. I tell you, Curtis, you are truly an innovator. And it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on our Newsmaker line this morning. I want to take a last break, but before I do, I want you to expand again on the power of go-go and where go-go should be or where is it going. I want you to let people know tremendously, our listening audience this morning, let them know that go-go is not dead, that go-go is alive and well, and you're one of the fixtures and the individuals who see into that. You're making sure that the go-go is not dead. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So actually what we're doing basically is reviving. We're coming up with new songs that play with the go-go attitude, the go-go idea, the go-go chemistry to help keep go-go alive. And I guess it's not just me. There's other artists that are out there that are doing the same thing. They're coming up with different ideas, things that you can actually, you know, take it from this point and take it to that point, if you follow what I'm saying.
Now, you said something that was also profound, a go-go attitude. What is the go-go attitude?
Attitude is, I guess, it's like an attitude, you know, the way you do something, the way you approach something, it's an attitude.
Mm-hmm. So when you go to a go-go, you have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to have a go-go attitude. Is that what you're saying?
Well, at least in my case, I'm being me because I'm creating go-go. So I'm doing what I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Per se.
Yeah. So is it good to go to a go-go by yourself, or is it good to go to the go-go and groups? What's best for the go-go listener or the go-go traveler? What should he do? Should he go to the go-go himself?
I don't think there's no magic to it. I think you go however you want to go. If you want to go in a group, you go with a group. If you want to go by yourself, you go by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Is go-go a good place to meet people?
Is go-go a good place to meet people? My guess
somebody's
is...
Somebody's looking to hook up. I mean, can we go to go-go and hook up, or is it so much of a freestyle dance that nobody's getting close to each other as everybody's dancing apart?
Well, I'm thinking any place is a good place to meet somebody, because what do we do when we meet people? We see somebody, we maybe get eye contact, or we see somebody, we like their facial or their body features, and we want to try to get to know this person. So... yeah, go-go is a good place to meet people.
Well, I'm looking forward to your next event or your next gig, because people need to know. Give us now how to get in touch with you. Give us your website. Give us your phone number. Let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, the phone number to reach us on would be 301-894-4215. Let me repeat that, 301-894-4215. You can go to our website, thebandeternity.com. That's www.thebandeternity.com. Also, always displays where we will be playing it next. Or then you can email us at advance-records1@hotmail.com. Another site to check out would be www.knockingdownthewalls.com.
How did you get to be so internet savvy and understand the power of internet marketing, websites? Most bands don't take the time to do what you do. They don't have an internet presence. They won't even do a show like this show. What made you be ahead of the game internet-wise? I mean, you've always been internet savvy. Why do you think so many artists don't take your lead and do what you do?
Well, in my case, I ran into a guy named Russell Price with Be There Magazine. and gave me an idea on how to be internet savvy when he developed his website. So I figured that was just a good enough image for me to say, hey, if that's the way to go, I'm going to follow Russell.
Because a lot of people back in the day, I've been on the internet now over 20 years. When I started the internet aspect, people shunned the internet. They didn't want to go on the internet. They said, I'm not going to do the internet. They didn't go on Facebook. They didn't go on Twitter. They didn't go on Instagram. These are people who already had careers, who already had the aspect of doing it, but they didn't do it. What caused them not to do it?
Well, I think maybe in the beginning it wasn't popular. It wasn't well known, but you know, in today's market, it's just it's an everyday thing now. And if you're not doing it, you're not going to happen.
Well, if you're not on the internet now, you're doing yourself an injustice, a seriously injustice. If you're not on the internet now, if you're sitting around saying, I'm not going to do the internet, I'm not going to participate on Facebook, I won't do Twitter. I mean, how could you be that far behind the curve in 2016? What makes an individual who has a CD, who has a band, who has a record, who has a company, who has an insight to try to reach people, not utilize the internet? What would cause somebody to do that?
Well, that's a hard question for me to answer. We don't have any kind of, you know, thing that tells us about human behavior. But before we go any further, I do want to do a special thanks to all the people that contributed to the I Got You Baby record. If I can have a moment to do that.
Give the shout out to everybody.
Okay, yeah, I want to do a special thanks to Nabess, Mick Jessup, Leora Fenwick, Tiora ID, Janice Mitchin, Byron Horn, Foxy Robb, Jock Johnson Jr., Kenny Gross, and my horn players, Zach Smith, who actually wrote the horns, Vince Norman, and Dan Haverstock, and Rob Folsom, who helped produce the song, and Roy Battle, who did the mix. I just wanted to do a special thanks to Thump Studio, where I do my recording at, Charlie Fenwick, and Leo Fenwick, who actually wrote the background parts that her singers perform, and Nabess actually wrote the background parts that her singers performed. So I just wanted to give a shout-out and a special thanks to them.
You did an excellent job, Curtis. This is going to be an opportunity to really promote the song, your information. Most important, people now can hear the background of you. It's one thing to go and play at a venue, but you just gave a shout out to everybody who was involved. You also talked about your background and what you are. And that is a difference in this interview. We will put this interview in the archives. You will have it for a year. You can put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can email it to people. If anybody wants to know about the Eternity Band and show, listen to this interview. This has been the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. It's Network on the Radio. We'll see you on Monday morning. Enjoy your weekend. And don't forget to go to CD Baby and order the CD. It's all about you. This is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine. I'm the heartbreaker man in marketing. I give it to you straight talk, no chaser. We'll see you Monday.